This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray. Adam, we're going to be having a little bit of a special edition after we sort of got ourselves through the entire regular season previews, talking about all the teams, which culminated with the Nets and the Bucks, who are going to be playing each other for the tip-off this Tuesday. But there's also going to be a special event that starts on Tuesday involving the Diamond anniversary, a.k.a. the 75th anniversary of the NBA as a league.
Yes, we are finally upon that. And now they are unveiling the 75 greatest uniforms of all time, I believe.
Okay, number one has to be the old school Nuggets jerseys. when Alex English was there and Michael Adams and Dan Issel, with the skyline, they yes. The thing with throwbacks in the NBA today is that you see all of them anyway, because it's just a way to get more merch out there to sell more jerseys. So you see all the different iterations anyway, just with different threads. And there are some really cool old school ones, and then there are some new school ones where you're just like horrible, like. Even like the original expansion Raptors jersey, which I think everyone thought was like an eyesore in the 90s, has sort of like gotten back into being hip today.
What hasn't gotten hip? The original
people like
Grizzlies.
People like the old school Raptors. Yeah, the Grizzlies, I guess, because it's got that very light tealish color.
It's just that one just didn't work. Even the teal Pistons didn't
work.
Oh,
I hated that though. Yeah, when they went with that white font that went sideways, absolutely hated it. I was so glad they went back to that kind of like a sharper font, but the same piston, but with that the Pistons bad boy font. I was so happy that they did that. And it was also perfect timing because they had Larry Brown's Pistons win that title wearing. Can you imagine Larry Brown's Pistons with Chauncey and Ben Wallace that they won those titles wearing those ugly lime green jerseys?
That would be so 90s.
I know. The Charlotte Hornets are in the top five all time. The originals.
Oh, the original pinstripe. Yeah, that would have to be up there.
Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about for this one. top 50 uniforms. No, we're the top 75. Because what we're doing here is that this is actually an expansion upon an original list. So the NBA had their 50-year anniversary, which was the golden anniversary. That's when everybody wore the gold NBA logos in 1996-97. And what the NBA did is that they put out a poll or a ballot for sports writers, coaches, media, players, and they created a panel, and they polled who would be the greatest 50 players in NBA history for the 50-year anniversary. So they selected them. There was debate even at the time in 1996, and we can get into that a little bit. We had talked about this before in a previous episode when we actually first started. It was one of our first episodes in 2014, going into the 2014-15 season, where we added 15 more players. So we're going to put a link in our summary to in our synopsis so that anybody who wants to piggyback off of that and keep this going – we're sort of revisiting this, but they did the 50 greatest players. They introduced them at halftime of the All-Star game in Cleveland in 1997. The only one who was posthumous at the time or posthumously selected was Pistol Pete Maravich. Everybody else at the time was still living. Some have passed on. In fact, I think it's about 12 others have passed on since then. We could talk about like some specific players in a second, but anyways, they have decided now for the 75-year anniversary for this upcoming 21-22 season to do the 75 greatest players of all time. So it's kind of interesting because they're throwing the ballot out there to the writers and the players and the executives again, but it's a blank slate. It starts from 1 through 75. So, and they're not going to rank them. It's not a top 75. It's just a pool of like, and then they alphabetically announce it or whatnot. And the 75 greatest players that have been selected this panel, they're going to be announced over a 3-night span for opening week, for the tip-off week. It'll start on Tuesday before the Nets play the Bucks to start the season. Then they're going to do it on Wednesday, the second part, on ESPN for their new show called NBA Today, which is replacing The Jump. Hey, Adam, what happened to Rachel Nichols' show The Jump?
I don't know. Must just be changing some... changing things around at ESPN, I guess.
Yeah, we're not touching that. And then there's going to be a third one. I believe it's on Wednesday, on Thursday, and that'll be the third part, the final part, where they finish off the list. I mean, we were sort of expecting this, Adam, because that's what we were telegraphing when we did the first show 7 years ago. But do you have a little bit of anticipation behind what it is, or do you think it's I mean, I'm not trying to say this episode is like a useless exercise. It's just more of like, do you think it's a lot of arguing over nothing?
Most of it is arguing over nothing because, you know, for one, for our intent and purposes, we're just going to keep the 50 as they were. You're in. We know some shouldn't have, but it doesn't matter for this. We're just going to, the list is what it is. But for the most part, like when you look at like who should be in, most people sort of have consensus on at least 15 people, you know, 15, maybe even 20. They're like, yeah, those should be in. So you're only debating a handful of names. And then it becomes sort of, and yes, in the era of futility, like the NCAA tournament, who should be on the bubble? Who should be the last, you know, 11 seeds?
Yeah, who's on the cut line, right?
Here's 20 teams that should be the last four. And you're just sort of arguing about four names. So yeah,
partisanship does leak in sometimes. Well, especially when you have people, humans actually choosing it. This is not computers. And it's probably better that way. But there might be somewhere it's like, you know, I like that player more than everybody else did. And there's no ranking system. But if you leave a player off your list in comparison to another one that you put in place, then that does influence whether or not they get in or not, especially on that bottom line, like you're saying.
Well, it doesn't matter whether they make it in as number one or number 75. Ranking them would be way, way harder. But we could just say, yes, both Michael Jordan and, you know, Allen Iverson should both make the top 75. Where are they? You know, who cares where they are?
Doesn't matter.
The fact that they made it is award enough. So, again, with that said, top 50 are already in. And let's just quickly just go through the ones we know who are definitely
okay.
We can breeze through the obvious ones.
I did want to just kind of circle back just about the 50 greatest players. And I'll mention like just a few things that are kind of fun. There were 11 players that when they were selected, they were still active. It was Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler, Patrick Ewing, Michael Jordan, Karl Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, who was only like in his fourth or fifth year. Probably the most controversial choice. Robert Parrish, Scottie Pippen, David Robinson, and John Stockton. Like you had mentioned, it wasn't ranked, so they did an alphabetical order at the ceremony. So like Jordan was in the middle. A few have passed since then. Paul Arizin, Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, Dave DeBuscher, Hal Greer, John Havlicek, Moses Malone, the aforementioned Pete Maravich, George Mikan, Dolph Shays, Bill Sharman, Nate Thurman, and Wes Unseld. All of them are on – they are already on the 50 grades, but they are no longer with us. Unfortunately, there will be a posthumous selection. We could probably just start off with that one. That's going to be Kobe Bryant. Did you want to just add a couple others that would be – I mean, we don't have to necessarily go all the way into their careers. These are the type of players that you and I would both agree would just be absolute automatics.
We know the easy automatics. We like right. Kobe. Tim Duncan.
Right.
That's easy. Kevin Garnett, easy.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out. Man, I should be ashamed of myself. Like, I was thinking for a second. You know, maybe he's not a cinch. And then you look at it, and he's like, he was a league MVP. He was a 15-time All Star. He's ninth all time in rebounds. He has a line where, he is at a mark in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks where no one else has reached it. So I was like, yeah, he's easy. That's a lock.
Dirk
Nowitzki, LeBron James, of course.
LeBron, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade, for sure.
Iverson.
You think the finals MVP put him in for good?
No, I almost want to say the fact that he sort of gave up and didn't try to prolong his career for three more years didn't sort of sully his his you know, reputation of, oh, you're just that broken down player at the end. No, he was a complete dominant player in his time.
Right. Allen Iverson. Is that who you're about to mention?
Yes.
Okay. Kevin Durant. This is one where when we did the first show 7 years ago, you had said he needed a couple more solid seasons. He did okay after that. So
yeah, he did need a couple more solid seasons. You know, the first time we could have said Blake Griffin. He needs another solid season or two. And then, oh, he didn't have any solid season after that. He fell apart. So Steph Curry, we said LeBron.
Yeah, for Curry, two-time MVP, seven-time All-Star, won a scoring title. Second all-time in threes. Three-time mm-hmm. champion. I mean, come on. Yeah. CP3, Chris Paul.
Dominique, who everybody said was the snub.
Yeah, the funny thing about his resume, other than being the human highlight film, you know, nine-time All-Star, won a scoring title once. He was All-NBA a few times. That's cool. I mean, it's awesome. It's probably going to warrant it. I think a little bit more of a reactionary tone because of the fact that he was left off of the first one.
Yeah, but he was the snub, and you could still, he makes the case again. It wasn't like, oh no, well, you know, the list is a list, so I think we're all good. He was the, well, why is he not in the, mm-hmm. he was pretty much the, you can make cases for other old people, but he was the one overwhelmingly like, whoa, they missed him.
Right. Jason Kidd. Second all-time in assists, 107 triple-doubles, fifth all-time in steals. I mean, won a title with the Mavs, Rookie of the Year. That one, do you have a dispute there?
No, Gary Payton.
You like Gary Payton. Like, I was a little kind of hesitant on Gary Payton, but since it is 25, as we're talking about, the expansion does make it a little bit easier for us. And, you know, nine-time All-Star, 10th all-time in assists, fourth all-time in steals. Went to an NBA Finals, won a championship with, I think it was the Miami Heat, wasn't it?
Was it the Heat or the Lakers? One of the
two. It was the Heat. He went to the Finals three times. He went to the Finals with the Sonics, and when he was the Defensive Player of the Year, and they lost to the Bulls, that great Bulls team. 2004, he was a Laker, but they lost to the Pistons. So it has to be Miami, the 2006 year that Dwayne Wade won the Finals MVP. Ray Allen?
Ray Allen should... I, you know, now we're starting to get closer to the, not unanimously, but I think he's safely in.
I call him lock, and I think the all-time clutch shot in the finals in 2013 kind of did it for good. He's also, at this moment, first all-time in three-pointers made. I think that Steph Curry's going to have something to say about that. 10-time all-star, too. Now it gets fun. And these are people that we necessarily didn't talk about when we did the 2014 episode, because at the time, even though – you know, Kawhi Leonard, for example, we'll start with. He was the Finals MVP in the 2014 Finals before we did the show. We weren't sure where he was projecting at. Now he's won the Finals MVP twice. He's been All-NBA at least five times. He's been a multiple-time All-Star. Well, it feels like he's on his way.
That's the problem with defense. Is there not flash? Like, you look at it like, why would he be top 75? He's not that. He's not the greatest in anything. And it's just like, oh no, he was a defensive stopper. Same way Gary Payton. You know, Payton. Well, there are better point guards than him. Oh no, his defense was at a such otherworldly level. You can't compete with it. And oh yeah, Kawhi is just completely shut down. Who, he has to. I think he has to be in.
Yeah, he had the 1 year where he kind of shut it down in San Antonio in 2018, five-time All-Star. But I think what really did it for good is that it's not even the Defensive Player of the Year awards, of which he's won two. It's not even that. It's the fact that when he went to Toronto for the one-year rental, he won an NBA championship and a Finals MVP before he went to the Clippers. I think that's what kind of sealed it for Kawhi. Would you disagree at all?
No, I agree with that.
I think James Harden is a lock.
Yeah, he's the Pistol Pete of the this year's class. His numbers are just completely gaudy, but nobody's like, I need to go watch him. I want to tune in to watch him. It's just, no, he's going to go score 30 points, and that's just the end of it.
Right, fifth all time already in three pointers made. I think he's the only player in NBA history to have a 60-point triple double. He's eighth all time in triple doubles. He won the league MVP in 2018. I think this is the biggest one, even though some people would not agree. He was a scoring champ 3 years in a row.
Yeah,
in an era where scoring exploded.
And you knew he was going to score 30 or 40 points every every night.
Right.
So if he's the Pistol Pete of this year's class, I would have to say this year's Shaq has to go to Giannis.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, two-time MVP, won the finals MVP last year, five-time All-Star. He also won DPOY one of those years he won the MVP. I think that's kind of easy. He's also sort of up there in triple doubles. I don't know if you knew that.
He's young, but it's like, well, where's his career going to end up at the end? But you just have to give it to him based upon the sample size he's already given, which has been crazy.
I think it's even less controversial than Shaq, because Shaq was drafted in 92. He'd only played like 5 years in the league when he was selected. Also, a fun note about that one is that he was one of the only two that didn't attend. Obviously, Pistol Pete, because he had already passed away. O'Neal had some sort of an injury, so the team doctor wouldn't clear him to fly. So he stayed home. So when they announced his name, they booed him in Cleveland. So he didn't show. I think everybody's going to show for this one. I don't see.
I like how you needed to clarify that Pistol Pete didn't make it because he was dead.
Well, you just put Kawhi. Who is it? James Harden in the Pistol Pete category. James Harden's not a ghost.
sorry, Mr. Maravich could not make it today. He's currently still dead.
His sons took his place. So, Giannis, I mean, two finals MVP. I think he's more in the Hakeem Olajuwon spot, where Olajuwon got in there. He was a two-time MVP in the finals, one-time MVP in the regular season. I know he played a little bit longer at that point in his career than Giannis did. Giannis, I believe, is in year eight or year nine. I want to say Olajuwon was in his 10th or 11th season when they did that. But yeah, your point's valid. Like, there could have been his career is not finished. He's an active player.
Yep. So did we mention Jason Kidd yet?
We did. Second all time and assist, fifth all time.
Yes, we mentioned him. We mentioned Harden. Steve Nash. Did we mention him?
We did not mention him. Would you consider him a lock? I had him right on the lip there for like,
I'm on the fringe, but you'd have to sort of put him in that Bob Cousy, he was just an assist machine.
Right, third all-time in assists. And I think these are the two that really do it for him. It wasn't just the fact that he was on those 7 seconds or less Suns team, which pretty much everybody agrees upon in the late 00s was probably the most entertaining team to watch. It's not even that. I mean, if that's the case, then why is Alex English not in there yet? Because those Nuggets team in the 80s were hilariously fun to watch from a scoring perspective. But for Nash, I think these are the two things that really do him. He won league MVP back-to-back in 05 and 06. Now, people can make the argument, oh, he shouldn't have won those 2 years. It should have been Kobe 1 year and Shaq in another. But hey, hardware is hardware, and he's got two awards. The other one is he's in the 50-40-90 club, which is 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line, and he did that four times. He's the only player to do that.
Yeah, that's
he had a bad tail end to his career with the Lakers.
Sure. I was gonna try, like, yeah, he injuries did cost him at the end, but just the numbers prior to that were he made Phoenix. He pretty much was Phoenix and turned that team around. Same way Chris Paul kind of righted the ship this time.
Right. Let me ask you this. When we had done these shows, this show 7 years ago, were there some of these that we consider now locks where you said, I don't know. I would say maybe the active players like Harden, Paul, Curry.
There's no way. Do they
surprise you?
Like you mentioned, like, well, oh yeah, only the active players are all at the tail end of their careers. Well, that's all you can be. You can't be the greatest top 50, top 75, top whatever all time and still be, well, only, you know, 5-6 years into your career. No, you've already had the 2-3 Olympic championships. You've had the MVPs. You've had the titles. You can't just give it to, oh yeah, you're the 75 greatest of all time to, some rookie who's just, you know, he was getting out of his rookie deal and he's just maxing. Oh, Trae Young, hey, you should totally be on there because he had two good years. That's just the, you know, the NBA 2K mindset of, well, they're this way now, therefore they're totally great. You know, oh, Trae Young's better, the best point guard of all time. Okay.
If we were doing that in 1996, then Tim Hardaway Sr. would have been on there. Because there was a point in the 90s where Tim Hardaway was like the most dangerous point guard in the league for a while.
Exactly.
I mean, and we can't be that ADHD about it. I mean, and I don't think the writers are or the pollsters are either. So just to clarify, and I'll just rapid fire who we've selected as our or we've come to a consensus on. Kobe Bryant, rest in peace. Tim Duncan, LeBron James, Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Garnett, AI, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Jason Kidd, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Ray Allen, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dominique Wilkins, and Steve Nash. That is 17 people. So, and you already made the determination with me that we are not going to delete people from the top 50 list. I mean, if it happens in reality, as they're announced this coming week, we will all find out because anybody can do the math and say, hey, I didn't hear Dave DeBuscher's name or I didn't hear Bill Sharman, you know,
math, but we're not going to do that. My strong set right now.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, like, I don't think it's cool to like open a spot by like, Hey, Adam, let's like, can I just scratch off Earl the Pearl Monroe so that I can get Damian Lillard in here? Like, no, we're not going to play that game. Like, we're going to make this a real solid number. We've selected the 17 that I just listed, and now we're down to 8. And I think this will be a fun exercise because there are some that you and I would both be in a pretty decent agreement on, even though there is a little bit margin for error. And then it gets a little tight at the end, like you had mentioned. You talked about Olympic gold. Let me talk about a guy who's one of the all-time Olympic performers in basketball, and a guy who's, I mean, he has chalked up a crazy scoring run in his career, and that's Carmelo Anthony.
Oh yeah, Carmelo is just the last of the mid-game players. All because he didn't have the championship or didn't have the playoff because he
not
was
not yet. He's played with the Lakers this year
because he was middled on New York for all those times, and then you know bounced around due to attitude problems. I'll say ego problems. And once he's like, okay, I'm just a six man now. And then, oh, look, he somehow had a good run in Portland, knowing this is what I am now, as opposed to, no, I'm the man. Why aren't I the man?
In reality, I thought until maybe possibly this coming year as a bench guy or as a helper in Los Angeles with the Lakers, I thought his best chance was early in his career with the Nuggets when he played with like Chauncey Billups and Nene and Kenyon Martin. Like I thought, and J.R. Smith, like I thought that team could have had a chance, but the Lakers at the time were so good with Kobe and Pau Gasol. It was going to be really, really hard. But I thought that he had a better chance in Denver than he did later in his career when he was in his prime years with the Knicks. But that's just my opinion.
Melo's safe.
Yeah, 10th all-time in scoring, 10-time All-Star, had a 62-point game back in 2014, and he also won the scoring title in 2013. That was also his best MVP vote get. He was second to LeBron.
Good.
Good. Let me just keep rolling. This one is in your backyard, the truth, Paul Pierce. I mean, played later in his career in other places like Washington and the Clippers, but in the Nets. But it's really as a Celtic where he made his call.
Yes, people want to hate on him due to his attitude and his whiny nature, which he was. But again, another lethal mid-range game. Just the up fake and the shots he would pull off is just, you know, the game winners.
Also, an Instagram god, if you haven't heard yet.
Yes. Yes, good old social media. Take another elder person down. Hey,
look, he's living his best life. I'm not going to say any more than that. I'll leave the listener to do the research. 20th all-time in steals, 16th all-time in scoring. That is actually incredibly high. He stealthed his way through his career with the scoring. 10-time All-Star. Second all-time in scoring among the Celtics. The only one who has more points than him is John Havlicek. And finals MVP in 2008. I think that may have been the cinch.
Yeah. Who's next?
So no argument there.
Nope.
Okay. Have we talked about Gary Payton?
Yes, we mentioned him. That's why I'm like, we mentioned Payton. Okay. He was on the list. So I'm like, how do you have 17 already? Like,
okay, then yeah, that's where I'm messing up because we did talk about Payton. Let's just move on to another guy who was a star in the 90s, Reggie Miller. This is a guy who, like, even when they did the 50 greatest players in 1996, I could have made the case for him. I could have said, yeah, he's the most dangerous shooter I've ever seen, just from a figurative standpoint.
He was, and that's like, you know, again, the same thing with Ray Allen of, well, he, you can't argue against him. Like, there were, he was just sort of a one-trick pony, but that was a very good trick he did.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who reminds me of him in present day is Klay Thompson. Like, I don't think Klay's going to make it here. But, I mean, in the case of Klay, five-time All-Star, crazy performances, incredible three-point shooter. Like, Reggie was also – I don't think he was as bad of a defensive player as people try to make him out to be. I think he could be a little lazy sometimes, but I think he could – he played on teams that were really good all-around defensive teams. And, I mean, he was just a really good all-around player. He was the all-time leader in three-pointers until Ray Allen broke in. Now Curry went past him, and now Curry's probably going to pass Ray Allen. He was a member of the 50-40-90 club 1 year in 1994, five-time All-Star, 14th all-time in scoring, played his entire career with the Pacers, similar to Dirk with the Mavericks. The only thing that really hurts him is that he just didn't win a championship.
It did, but I don't think that's the end-all and be-all. Because there's a lot of players who ultimately don't win champs, especially because of the dominance of, you know, the Bulls and the Lakers. Yeah,
like Jordan in the 90s. Like, look at, I mean, Patrick Ewing. Like we talked about, I mentioned the active players at the top, like, at the time in the 90s, like Barkley, Ewing, Drexler snuck in there with Hakeem. David Robinson on the tail end after Jordan retired. Malone and Stockton didn't win one. They lost to the Bulls twice. So it looked for a little while like Shaq might not get one. Now, I mean, he did okay on that one. He got four. But, yeah, it was just an unfortunate circumstance where Reggie was just the odd person out. The funny thing about Reggie is that he was a star player for the Pacers when they lost to the Bulls. And then with Jordan and Pippen and Robin and that Last Dance crew. And then he, 2 years later, was the star player with Jalen Rose in Indiana. And they lost to Shaq and Kobe, the Lakers. So they were the team that kind of got a taste of both medicines, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so now we're down to four.
Yes, we are. I missed picks. I missed on Payton, which kind of messed up the math when you and I were looking at it real time. But yeah, we've talked about 21 people now who we think. I mean, there's a lot of all time greats that we can kind of throw names out. Because this is where it gets a little freelance. But now we're down to four spots: 22, 23, 24, and 25. And
that was just a pure argument point. Like, you know, we had the consensus, which was, you can't argue against those picks. These are all have, yeah, buts.
Yeah. Let me just do this to start. Let's try to eliminate players that you and I don't have on the list either. So if we say no, we can mention them, but this will be the end of the argument. Okay. You ready?
Oh, I am very ready.
Okay. Chris Webber. A guy that in 2014's episode that's in the synopsis, you actually said would make it in the next 15.
But then you didn't expect, you know, all these new names to come in. It was,
right.
Like, we could say now who can make it.
What if Giannis wasn't in there? Right.
What if Cade Cunningham or Jalen Green becomes the next LeBron? We don't know that yet.
It's incredible. I don't even want to think. Dude, don't even tell me about NBA 100. We already had a joke in the last episode about how it's going to be crazy if we're still around for the 75th anniversary, and here we are. I don't even want to think about the 100th anniversary. I don't want to jinx it. I have a life. I have 25 years. I mean, we're not going to do this show for 25 years, are we, Adam?
I don't think we are.
Okay, but Chris Webber.
No.
Hey, awesome player. I mean, look, all these
they're
guys.
They're all – who's going to nominate a non-awesome player for this list? Like, come on.
I mean, Ben Wallace, let's just throw him out there.
I would just say no. He just falls just short, I think.
Four-time defensive player of the year is impressive, but, you know, there are other DPOYs that we can talk about. Derrick Rose, no way. I mean, I will say before we just said injury,
no, we said, why would you mention bad players? And all of a sudden you just mentioned one.
He's a bad player now. Before his injury, he was on top of the world. He was the league MVP.
Yeah, for a couple of years, then the rest of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been top of anything in how many years now?
Tony Parker.
A case can be made, but...
Is it in yours?
Not my case, but I think is an argument can be made, and you could see if they pass him along.
Is he the greatest French NBA player of all time?
I would believe so.
Better than Rudy Gobert?
I would believe so. We can throw in there right
now. Rudy doesn't make it here. I'm not the spoiler.
Rudy needs a couple more defensive. Rudy will be on the who can make the next 25.
Yeah. He also brought COVID to the NBA, so that's a red flag. I mentioned Klay Thompson. I love him. It just the 2 years that he missed with the injury, kind of, if he hadn't had that loss due to injury, no. I would have had him. Kyrie Irving.
No.
He joined 50-40-90 Club actually last year. I actually read that just today. Pau Gasol.
An argument can be made, but I think I'm just going to go with no.
28th all-time in rebounds, four-time All-NBA, six-time All-Star, one Rookie of the Year in 2002. Okay, this one's more of an ambassador situation because of the popularity now of the NBA in China. What about Yao Ming?
No.
Eight-time All-Star.
Simple no, just because his career got cut short.
Mm-hmm. Tracy McGrady, I know he won scoring titles. To me, it's a no. He never
you're
let
just
a team...
picking. Now you're picking bad. Now you're just reaching for bad names.
Bad names. Dikembe Mutombo.
I wouldn't even put Tracy McGrady in my top 100.
Wow. Okay. I'd put him in the top 100. I mean, he won scoring championships. He just didn't lead a team to a playoff win, which is like a non-starter. That's how I feel about that one.
Dikembe, I think a case can be made, but I'm going to say no.
Another great shot blocker from the 90s, Alonzo Mourning.
I would think no.
I know. I kind of thought about it, too. Two-time defensive player of the year if it wasn't for the kidney transplant.
These are the 75 to 80, 90. Yeah. This is the next list where, like, yeah, they sort of fall down there.
Grant Hill, another guy who got cut short. I mean, he played a lot of games that he made up for later in his career when he missed. Like, I looked this up, Adam. Between 2001 and 2004, how many games did he play? Give me a number.
I would say he played one season's worth.
Well, give me a number of games.
82.
46.
Yeah, so why would he even be on this list?
He played 46 games between 2001 and 2000.
And after that, he wasn't super dominant afterwards. He just was
no,
there.
He was like a utility player in Phoenix, right?
So we're now voting for utility players who had a couple good
years? I am not
years?
Voting for utility players. We're playing Eliminator. We're trying to get rid of the pool because we're going
to
get to the
they
hard.
They shouldn't even be in the pool to be eliminated.
Chris Mullin, he was on the Dream Team.
No.
The late, great Dennis Johnson won a finals MVP in 1979, all defense six times.
He will probably be the biggest case could be made for him and that he was one of the snubs of the last one, but I just can't pull the trigger myself.
Okay. And then Joe Dumars, terrific, but he won a finals MVP, but no, the stats just don't match. Now I'm going to bring up some older players. If you want to interject, that's fine. And I'm just kind of get past them because I just don't think they're going to make it. David Thompson had amazing career, both also in the ABA for a little while, but I just don't see it. I think his drug addictions kind of hurt him. The late Walt Bellamy, 12th all time in rebounds. That's one that we could kind of re-explore later. Is that a guy you were thinking about?
No.
Okay, Alex English, as we had mentioned before, 20th all-time in scoring, won a scoring title. We'll see. Spencer Haywood, no. I think the most important thing about Spencer Haywood was the Supreme Court ruling that allowed players to leave early from college. I mean, he was a good player. You mentioned Artis Gilmore.
I think he might be the veteran who gets in.
Okay, six-time All-Star. He also, if this is the crazy, you want to hear a crazy one, Adam? He was in the NBA. He was in the ABA. He was an all-star from the beginning, from his rookie year. He was an ABA all-star five times. They go to the merger They go to the NBA, 6-time All-Star. So in essence, he was an 11-time All-Star. He also has the highest career field goal percentage at just under 60%.
That's, I think I would put him in the, as a veteran committee.
Okay, what about Bob McAdoo?
No.
He won the he was the 3-time scoring champ, all in Buffalo, early in his career in 74, 75, and 76. But after that, it did sort of kind of dovetail for him. He had a little bit of issues with like fitting with teams. He did win 3 NBA titles, I think 2 of which were with the Lakers. And he won a league MVP. So that's all good. I mean, it's all really good.
No. So are you on the Artis Gilmore train, or are you off the...
I'm off of the Artis Gilmore train.
Okay, I think so we still have 4 names then.
Okay, now let's get to the nitty-gritty. I'm going to start bringing up some names, and it'll get a little harder, okay? Let me just throw a couple of them that are more of the in the relevant pool. Nikola Jokic.
No.
I think some people are going to vote for him. I think he might get right under the cut line. League MVP, he's already 9th all-time in triple-doubles.
I think too young.
Too young. Like, he'll definitely make the next one if we're around. Luka Doncic.
We'll make the next one.
You think for sure he won't make it. He's already been All-NBA first team twice. He's the fastest of 4,000 points other than Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal.
That's just the fastest. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
But Shaquille O'Neal made the top 50 in
and his he year. Earned it. And that's what we gave the Shaq and exemption didn't earn to... It? No, we gave the Shaq exemption to Giannis, so I'm going to still say no, way too young for him.
Okay. Damian Lillard.
I don't know how fast I can say no. Oh, but wow. you will make your case.
Rookie of the year in 2013, 10th all-time in three-pointers made. You'll obviously, like all current players, will soar past that. 6-time All-NBA, 6-time All-Star. I know his best I know he still has great years ahead. I think he is. Or I think he does. But are they with Portland is, I think, the big speculation for the next year or two for Damian. But, I mean, he is the kind of guard that almost transcends even his level of play. It's like Dominique Wilkins being the human highlight. It's Dame time. He has him and Curry have almost, like, pioneered the half-court shot, like, to the point where it's like, they have stretched the way that even NBA guards play. Like, and I think that's important. Anthony Davis. Another 2012 rookie class guy along with Lillard.
No, I don't think so.
I would go with him just because he's got the all-NBA numbers. He's got the all-defensive numbers. He's been in the All-Star game 8 times. He's also led the league in blocks 3 times. NBA championship. Didn't win the finals MVP. LeBron did when the Lakers got it in the bubble. But I do think winning that title did help AD a lot, and I think a lot of people will look gladly on that when they make their selection. Dwight Howard.
You see, I would put him in over AD.
Okay. So why do you like Dwight Howard? Because he's more in the totality of his career?
He's more impactful? Yeah, the totality of his career. He's at the end of it, but his work as a whole. AD is not at the end, and he has more to do since he plays on a high level still. I just don't think – I think if you're – you know, it's one of those, if you have to pick A or B, I will pick B. Okay. You will pick A, so – I think we have one of those 4 spots we can put for one of those 2.
Yeah, I think one of them might get bumped at the end. Vince Carter. Vinsanity.
I was going to say no, but I think you've slowly worn me down and talked me into him.
He's the greatest. I know this is one of those figurative things again. He's the greatest dunker ever. I mean, the 2000 slam dunk contest, it's like one of the most transcendent moments in NBA history.
Yeah, it was. And what are the other ones? Blake Griffin jumping over a car and what?
Gerald, I mean, Julius Erving and David Thompson in 76. Yeah.
Oh, fine. Well, how come D Brown's not in the
Cedric Ceballos doing it with a blindfold on? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't really mean, but I think he kept being at a high level for his career and managed to change his game from that of high flying dunker to that of a jump shooter.
Do you want your mind blown? He's 6 all time in 3-pointers made.
No, I don't see. I don't think that's too shocking. It's the same way, like when you look back at like NFL stats, it's like, you know, Drew Bledsoe is like top 10 in passing yardage. It's like, what? It's like, but so it's like, yeah, he didn't do much, but
and he always had that game. Like his highest scoring game ever in a playoff game, I want to say, was, do you remember that epic playoff showdown he had with Allen Iverson when the Raptors played the Sixers in 2001?
Yep.
I think that 50-point game that he got a 50-point game in that series. It was game three. I think he hit like 8 threes in that game. So he always had that in his game, along with the dunking. But the Vinsanity portion of it, I think, really does it. Also, third all-time in games played. I mean, he played a really long. I can't even remember all the teams he played for. If you could.
So we're going to – we'll put him in. You have 2 more people to add. I have 1.
Okay. So, well – I had already mentioned Lillard and Carter and Anthony Davis. So for me, that would actually be 3. So but on my end. Now I got 1 more. And this one's an older one. Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, I think, one of the ones that case can be made. But if he falls out, he does fall out.
Do you think the controversy surrounding North Korea still follows him?
No, because nobody really cares about political stuff.
He seems like a guy, though, that just can't help himself. Like, he's always got to stay in the limelight, you know. But he does have that little bit of, like, you know, the story about Will Chamberlain with the sleeping with all the women. Like, it's one of those things where having it almost becomes like a myth making type of persona. And that's definitely the case with Rodman. Like, Rodman, like, for example, The Last Dance, he was probably the most fascinating part of the whole thing because people were like, why is Rodman going to Vegas with Carmen Electra? Nobody wants to know if the Bulls are going to beat the Jazz in this regular season game in the middle of the miniseries, because we all know. But we don't know what happened with Dennis Rodman when he went clubbing that night, you know, that kind of a thing. So he does have that, like, I wouldn't call it a magical type of persona, but it's like sort of like bewilderment. Like, how did this dude get away with all this stuff and still lead the league in rebounding 7 seasons in a row? Which, I mean, I cannot emphasize that enough. In a year where big guys were everywhere, Shaq, Ewing, Olajuwon, Mutombo, he led the league in rebounding 7 years in a row.
Yep. But no, I think case can be made, but I don't. My last spot is firmly reserved.
And who is that for?
Oh, I was just waiting for you to throw out more names that I can.
Oh, no, I think we're
you're waiting to hard know my pick of the who pretty much just from reading is the controversial pick of it all. Russell Westbrook. You're like, no, but like his stats are just beyond gaudy, even in this gaudy era of everything.
You know what I didn't know in that MVP season, and because he won the league MVP regular season 2017, I did not know that he led the league in scoring that year along with the triple doubles. That kind of like that kind of surprised me. I was pretty amazed by it, honestly. It is an incredible. It's probably the greatest. The statistically, instead of in terms of stat gobbling, it's probably the greatest season of all time. I think the most efficient season ever. You could probably go with like Shaq in 2000, MJ any of those years, Giannis like recently. There's a few, LeBron. There's a few, but in terms of just gobbling up the stats, and that I think that's also his biggest weakness for me personally, critically, is that I think Russell Westbrook really takes the cake there.
He is the definition of the stat gobbler. But even with that, like you can't argue. With, like I said, you said the MVP. The
all-time leader in triple-doubles by a large margin. Like, he's almost at 190 triple-doubles. And I think the next active one who's close is LeBron, and he's not even at 90 yet.
2-time scoring champion, 3-time assist leader. Mm-hmm. You can't, like, just you combine all of those. It's like, well, if he's not scoring, he's still getting.
He's 12th all-time in assists. I mean,
yeah, so
I mean, he had really good years with Durant. It's to be continued about how this goes in LA. And then obviously with that one weird year, those 2 years with Houston and Washington, the contract. I mean, we don't have to talk about how much money is changing hands with all these deals with these players' careers, but it's a lot. Does it get into the trillions? I'll just have to say, do you think it gets into 1 trillion between all these guys?
We're getting close to it, but
like we're in the billions easy. I don't know if we're getting. Nah, just, I don't want to say trillion. It's probably like maybe 500 billion. But it's
just, but just with the stats, you can't look past them because it was just year in and year out of doing it. And then, like, again, much like Pistol Pete, was just a stats grabber as well. But you have to reward such one where even everybody else is like, yeah, he will score. He will triple doubles and he'll do everything. You can't argue.
If you do a comparative study of like the previous list, like, you can find people like that. You could have actually made the case for that for Oscar Robertson, who not everybody compares necessarily to Russell Westbrook in terms of style of play, but in terms of the triple doubles, a lot of people compare because that's who he passed up in order to become number one all time. But another guy just basically really racked up the stats to get to where he was, but he did get to the 50 greatest players list was George the Iceman Gervin. Like, how many, let's be honest, Anna, how many great teams did George Gervin play for? In San Antonio and Virginia with the APA, not that many.
I'm still waiting.
But you know, as podcast hosts, even us, we mature over time, we grow, we learn. And I will say, for those who listen back to the previous episode, I literally said, and I quote, Russell Westbrook is a lock. And here I am trying to fight against it. So and it's not necessarily I'm wrong now and I was right then. I just have a little bit of a problem with the superficiality that Westbrook's career became after Durant left Oklahoma City. It does kind of bother me. He is still not necessarily efficient, but he is still a very good volume scorer and assist guy. I mean, I can't argue that.
So do you have him in or no?
I'll go ahead with it just because of the fact that he leads all time in triple doubles. I mean, he averaged a triple double, I think, what, three times? 17, 18, and 19? It's hard to do. I think people that we'll talk about as we go through the end of this, I think others will get to that point. But yeah, I can go with Westbrook.
Okay, so you're happy with our list? You're good, or
I'm okay about it. I mean, you know, Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis. I think for those who want to pay really close attention to who gets selected, because I don't think it's going to be necessarily one through. Like, I think they're going to mix it up to try to keep the drama going to have people watch it for ratings. But I think it's going to be interesting if they tip their cap of like who got in and who didn't. Like, if you see Anthony Davis's name pop up on one of these nights, I'm going to immediately think Dwight Howard didn't make it. Like, or Vince Carter didn't make it. That's how I feel. If Dennis Rodman doesn't make it, I know controversy follows him everywhere, like we mentioned, but it would hurt. It would hurt. I mean, that guy was so important, as you had mentioned, defensively to his teams, and it's really hard to put a quantity on that.
I agree, but you have to draw the line somewhere, and when you get to the end, you don't. It's not a unanimous thing, and somebody has to make it, and somebody has to get left off.
And what about Robert Horry? We didn't mention Robert Horry. Without Robert Horry, these guys that are making the 75 this week, they don't have the rings that they have. They have maybe one or two less.
And why don't we just put Kyle Korver in for all his...
Kyle Korver is top five all time with three-pointers made.
Why don't we just toss him in then?
What about Rod Strickland? What about Kevin Willis?
I think now you're just drunk on names. You're just picking any random all-star out of a hat.
Okay, let's try to kind of...
Let's wrap this up here.
Well, I will wrap it up here, and I'll just give you a couple things. A few anecdotes. The first thing is I feel like the timing, and I want to see if you agree with me on this or not, and if there's still some margin for error. I feel like the timing of the 75th anniversary in terms of selecting the players for that particular number of spots, it's kind of perfect. Like, we're at a point in, you know, once 25 years has passed, you're going to see a great player play the entirety of their career. Like, Kobe Bryant played 20 years, and he had that was his rookie year, the year they made this choice. So, like, the 50 greatest. So, you literally went through the entire lifespan of Kobe Bryant's career, and unfortunately, he had passed away after that. Tim Duncan was selected right after that. There were a couple of relevant players too that, you know, LeBron James is still playing. Steph Curry is still playing. Kevin Durant is still playing. Chris Paul. They're not necessarily long in the tooth, all of them, But they have enough inventory at this point in their careers to say, yeah, there's, I cannot see them not making it. James Harden is another guy. Like, do you feel like there's a little bit of wiggle room there in terms of some of the contemporary players when they make this list? Or do you feel like it fits really nicely?
No, I think it's well defined. It's just the way the dominant, like the
wild card is Giannis.
Domination of players.
Yeah. The one that kind of snuck in, it was like, oh yeah, this guy's going to make it, is Antetokounmpo.
Yeah,
whereas
but
2 years ago, I don't think that would have happened.
And then 2 years from now, we can have a totally different list based upon the current players. So, like I said, with the LeBron, with Steph, they've been so dominant for so long, there hasn't been room for anyone else to sort of sneak in, because every year, I mean, hell, we had 4 years of Golden State Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, for a great player, that's a quarter of their careers watching the same two teams go to the finals.
Yeah, the only thing that's crazy is, like, look, I really, really, really don't think Kevin Love is making this. And Kyrie Irving, I mean, let's be real, he's his own worst enemy sometimes. He's a guy that if he had not, I don't want to say that wrong, but if he had played ball, then I think he probably would be fine. But in terms of making this, but, you know, controversy follows him too. And it's something that he's willing to take on because that's just his personality. Almost in the vein of a Dennis Rodman. But in the case of this, I had talked about how they had current active players in 96 and four of them played against each other in the finals that season and the following season. Jordan and Pippen against Malone and Stockton. Do you see that again in the next year or two? Like, do you feel like it's going to be LeBron, Curry, Durant, Paul, Harden, Kawhi, Giannis? It's going to be some combination of all of them in the finals again?
Most likely. And that's why the list is so easy, because you have the same names year in and year out.
Because the finals is important. It's a stamp of approval. It's like a stamp of approval from the NBA gods. It's like we talked about Paul Pierce. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have made it, but winning that finals MVP was very, 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 very important to him. Like it's by far the greatest achievement of his career. And it's something that you'll, like, even Giannis Antetokounmpo, as much great stats as he's put up in terms of player efficiency, even winning the two MVPs, the finals MVP is the one that everyone's going to remember. Shaquille O'Neal winning three finals. Everyone says Shaquille should have won more regular season MVPs. He won three finals MVPs. That's what everyone's going to remember. To finish up, say we do this again in 10 years and we added 10 more. Who would you think is just a guaranteed lock for the next one that we decided would not make it this time?
Well, the locks would be Jokic and Luka.
Yeah, and if he doesn't make the cut this time, I'd say Damian Lillard is easy. I think Damian Lillard is easy. I want to really be super hot take and say Cade Cunningham or like Amani Bates. Maybe Bronny. You think Bronny?
That would be the hottest of hot takes. You pick some random 16-year-old kid.
All right, I'm going to say it right now. Cade Cunningham will be on the NBA 100 list in 2049. You can, or 2046. You can mark that down.
So congratulations to those who do make it. Sorry for those who don't. And
do you feel sorry for him? Like, do you feel like this is something where it's like, oh, I didn't make this all-time NBA official list?
They all want to make it. I think Rodman might be the only one who wants to be snubbed so he could be in the conversation yet again.
So what happens if you were on that original 50 and you get left out? Do they come to your house and take the plaque away? Someone needs to guard Dave DeBuscher's house.
They just put an asterisk next to the first one saying, sorry, you couldn't repeat.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think that most of them have the respect to have like a baseline or a hard line of saying, yeah, but we got to go with the guys that were originally voted just because. Like the only, like you had mentioned Scottie Pippen a few times to me about how you're still not sure. For me, it's still Bill Walton just because of the stats. I know he won a championship. I know he was great, especially in college. But like, I don't know. I have a problem with him being on that NBA 50 list.
Well, for Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care.